had a meeting not too long ago at the regional library where we heard from one of the developers, and a lot of questions came out of that meeting. And we decided that it would be in the best interest of the neighborhood to bring together some of the principles involving economic development in our district and have a curated Q&A, essentially, where Woodhaven Neighborhood Association Executive Board is convened and determined that we have certain questions that would be in the best interest of the neighborhood to get answers to, questions that some have been ongoing for years, and some are new that came out of just the last meeting in response to development proposals and things that we're hearing. So our goal for today is really to establish a ground truth so we can all get on the same page. We don't all have to have the same views and preferences, but we should strive to be working on the same basis and facts about what's happening in our neighborhood, what the law is, what the city is planning on doing, and what developers are planning on doing here. So that's what the agenda is for tonight. I'd like to welcome Gordon Jackson to come up. The board has essentially delegated to him putting together the work tonight. So thank you, Gordon, for all the work that went into this. He's going to be our guide. I will close this out at the end, but without further ado.
Thank you.
You're clapping because I'm the sacrificial person.
This meeting goes all to hell in the handbasket. It's all my fault.
So this meeting has a chance of getting volatile. There's a lot of people here that are pretty, well, we're all very invested in the neighborhood and in success. And you notice from the last meeting, different people had different levels of information. So there was a lot of back and forth in the room or disagreement about what should be considered facts. Facts are facts. We have agreements or disagreements on what to do next. But something's been decided or done by the city, we should all be on the same page. That's been done and decided. So what I'm trying to do.
Can you speak up, Gordon, for us in the back?
There's no microphone here in the area.
Just speak up louder. Thank you.
What I'm trying to do here is we work through the agenda. We will all start out by just stating what I believe the facts to be. We've got six guesses. We're all principals in this decision making, and I will let them answer what we think are the core questions that this group has posed in the previous meeting and during the interview. So, there is clear that here's the agenda. I start with an introduction on WNA and what we're trying to accomplish, who we are as an organization, and what our role is. There was quite a bit of discussion at the last meeting on what our role is as a WNA. So we'll firm that up. Then we have an agenda, a brief overview of the Woodhaven neighborhood. I think different people have a different perspective of what the neighborhood is, so I'd like to at least develop a common baseline of what we're talking about when we talk about Woodhaven and where we stand within the city of Fort Worth. And then I'd like to do a brief introduction of each guest and then pose four questions and try and contain each guest within 15 minutes or so, or never get out of here. In fact, they close the doors here at 8 o'clock. We're going to spend all night here. We're going to throw that at 8 o'clock. We've got Will Northern, Crescendo, Logan Hampton, Blue Ridge, Boca Crest, Bowie, and Holland from Empire Holdings, Phil Michael Smart from the City of Fort Worth, and other peoples. So we've got a star-studded lineup here. It should be a really exciting next few hours. Hopefully, it goes by quickly so you can learn an awful lot. Can you hear me back there, or we're still talking about it?
It's better. Thank you.
Better? Okay.
We're looking for a mic.
Okay. Then at the end of all the speakers, hopefully we have time for that. The speakers are free to leave. They don't need to spend their time in here, but the group identifies some common ground so that we can start developing the basis for what the Woodhaven Neighborhood Association should be doing with some of these issues. What the next steps are. We're trying to pack all that in 2 hours. This is moving pretty fast. This is my background. I'm not going to dwell on it here. You can read faster than I can talk. I'm just going to say I approach topics and decision making kind of in a matter of fact way. So this isn't going to be, I'm not going to be charged with emotion. So if someone in the room gets emotional, let's try and remove that. And we need to get grounded in reality. We've got to course, we've got some infrastructure that's been neglected for 20 or 30 years. We have to kind of identify who we really are as a neighborhood. It's hard to make good decisions to have to go forward if some people are thinking we're a different type of neighborhood than we currently are. So let's start with the role of the Woodhaven Neighborhood Association. And so this is Article 2. So Article 1 is the Article of Incorporation, listing it as a legal entity. Article 2 is our objective. And I just took the paragraph and I broke it into six sentences so you can understand the objective. First one is quality of life objective. Second one is representing our interests at all levels of government. The third one is beautification of the Woodhaven, not just our neighborhood, but the whole area. Fourth, enhancing our property values. Fifth, supporting desirable, I guess that takes away some of the less desirable. Supporting desirable commercial enterprises in the area and making profit. And to achieve these objectives, this association will encourage volunteer participation and will raise the necessary financial support through dues and other sources so that we have an operating income so we can do all these activities. So the final portion is, if you disagree with these objectives, you're in the wrong room. This is who we are. So I'm evaluating discussions today. I just broke those six objectives. Made it in simpler words to understand. I said we should be able to look at a project and say, how does it compare to our objectives? Now I'm going to pick on something that's a little touchy for some people, maybe. That's okay, but I'm just giving an example of how this would work. The TIF board approved $1 million playground at the library. I'm not saying whether it's a good or bad decision. I'm saying how does it align with the Woodhaven Neighborhood Association's stated objectives? There's some improvement of quality of life for some people, but it doesn't really hit any tenants. We can talk about it. You're opposed to the playground. Discussions you should be having and planning. That is an objective way of doing it. And we should take emotion out of it and say, let's objectively look at it.
It works.
The next thing I want to do. Does this work?
Well, let's hope it does.
Yes.
Reverberation. We change that.
That's double face.
If this golf course is being built greenfield, brand new, this is probably the kind of housing that would go in. This is what's going in here in Fort Worth right now. Really nice neighborhoods on golf courses. And you can see it's $1.4 million new construction, $336 a square foot. That's new construction. Go to stop six. Stop six resale.
Line it radio mode. Line in. Radio mode.
Nice drawing.
Yeah. This is a much smaller house, but I want you to think like a developer for a second to help you understand what the dynamics of what's going on in the golf course. $200,000 for a 1,000 square foot house. Their asking price at least is $200,000. That's pretty representative. $150,000 to $225,000. There's the house behind me that's for sale here in Woodhaven. This is pretty typical of the Woodhaven asking prices. It's a much bigger house. It's a much higher asking price. But look at that dollar per square foot. That's the ask up. The average going from $135,000 to $145,000.
Houses $10 per square foot.
$336,000 to $200,000 is something that's in the $150,000 range. And you can see why developers are having problems. People in this room would love to have the golf course converted into something like that. It would enhance this neighborhood. But the banks, the financiers, the developers are all saying, well, our cost of construction for that is $250 or $270 a square foot. How on earth would we put that in this neighborhood without a huge amount of risk? So you can see right away the dilemma the developers are looking at. That just helps everybody get grounded. When someone says, you know, where are we in the Fort Worth continuum? The value per square foot, we're probably among the lowest. It doesn't mean we're in this neighborhood. We're among the lowest dollar per square foot.
Does he have any real estate background or understand how that works?
Briefly, what's driving this? I put this here first, and you guys can shoot me. That's why I'm off the board. The condition of your homes. You drive through the neighborhood right now, and probably 30% of people put their sprinklers off their lawns, I think. There's underbrush that's overgrown. There's houses that aren't being painted. If we just cleaned up our neighborhood, it would probably go from 135 square foot to 165, 170, like that. But we've got every second or third house that's all these issues. We're in charge, you know, we can ask different people for a lot of things. Some things we have to do for ourselves. You certainly have underperforming public schools, but you know what? Before we're ISD is a common denominator across all the neighborhoods. So I'm not sure how much that
not necessarily. If you live over by Colonial Country Club and you go to the schools there and they're forward ISD, it's better.
Absolutely. Certainly. Underperforming schools are a factor. I don't know how big a factor they are, especially when we look at the excellent private schools that are in the area. We definitely have aging infrastructure. We have the low-income apartments. We have the uncertainty surrounding the golf course. We're underserved by retail. I don't think Deerfork's moving in, but we are underserved by retail in this area. But we've got some very unattractive commercial properties. Commercial properties that have bars and windows and stuff. Kind of spooky when someone's looking at the neighborhood. And we still have a crime police presence, lack of police presence, which is an issue here.
Excuse me, could you speak up just a little bit? It's still very difficult to hear you back here.
Okay.
Thank you.
So the next realization we have to come to is we're not going to go from $135 a square foot as a neighborhood over $200 a square foot in one step. It's got to be increments, things like some of the TIF projects, things like some of the neighborhood beautification projects, some things that Denver Peoples can help us out with. But it'll be a stair-step process over multiple years. Pitfalls from previous meetings. First thing I already mentioned, not everybody has the same facts. So if someone has a different fact set and start arguing or talking past someone who doesn't have the same understanding of the issue. Mixing personal preferences with the objectives of the WNA. I mean, if you understand the objective of the WNA is these six items, you got to understand them and contribute based on that. If you're saying, well, you're willing to set that aside and you've got a personal preference you want to advocate, well, you're not supporting the organization. That the goal of this organization is those things. Next thing is confusing a WNA meeting with a city council member's public town hall or a developer's public information meeting. This is a WNA meeting. It's not a town hall. It's not a developer. Will Northern didn't call this meeting. We did. Sorry. The next step statement, and this will come back later this evening is not appreciating the stalemate among the WNA. What it really means is that it doesn't stop progress. The world moves on. Deborah Peoples is going to want to keep making decisions. Will Northam's going to keep making decisions. We're stalemated. It just means we're outside the process. We're not contributing. We all need to realize that. We all argue and go away angry and have no conclusion. It just means we're neutralized. We're not a force in play. So that we're far better to come together and say, overall, this is what we're looking for, and then advocate for it. So I quickly try and hit some facts that I'm aware of. They're kind of more general facts. This meeting is not to talk about zoning, because that's been done. I'll touch on it a little bit. We're not talking about the platting, certainly for the back nine. That's kind of been done and moved through the process. The TIF fund is about $30 million, and we'll get an update on what's in the pipeline and discussed and what's not. The expiration date is 2028, unless it's extended. WNA, we have no visibility. I looked at the budget details that were forwarded, and they're giant buckets, $400 million, that kind of stuff. No detail inside there. So we got no visibility if we've got anything earmarked for us in this neighborhood for 2027. So that's something that Deborah may be helping talk about. There's no doubt the city of Fort Worth has underfunded and kind of neglected this part of Fort Worth for at least 20 years, probably 30. And the infrastructure shows that it's all ancient crisis. We must become more politically active and advocate for ourselves. Or we're just, it's going to be the same thing. So our guest today is Will Northam, Crescendo, who's going to give us an update and answer some key questions about where they're at, what the future looks like. Logan Hampton, he's here. He's in the midst of re-spinning based on the last meeting we had, and he's not fully prepared to disclose Project 2.0. He's working on a part, but he's willing to give us a taste of what's coming and answer some key questions about Logan. Bobby Holland and Bart Holdings, they've got a TIF project. It's actually pretty intriguing and very kind of right along the lines of what the TIF funding seems like it should be for. But Phil Michael Smart needs to come here and talk about the whole TIF process and what's in the process and what's going on. And then Deborah Peoples, she's wearing two hats. She's the chairwoman of the TIF and she's our city council member. So she's got two hats, so she's the unlucky person with two sets of questions. I'll start with Bill Northam. As I said, I'm trying to get the facts. If I get them, he's got a lot of facts here, so if I get them wrong, correct me in a moment. But he purchased 2 years ago, Crescendo did 149 acres, plus the clubhouse facilities. They talked to 50 golf course operators, and there wasn't interest because they couldn't build a business model. One factor for sure is that there's a municipal golf course nearby that's partially subsidized by the city. So it makes it really difficult for a private enterprise to compete against the municipally subsidized golf course. His approach, and it's 100 developers, is still working the portfolio out there. We'll talk more about that, but we've got a few on the hook, a few out there that we can see, and continues to track them. He's maintained the grass and done emergency repairs around the golf course. And that isn't a little item. That's hundreds of thousands of dollars. So just that people kind of realize there's a big financial advantage to maintain the grass and do emergency repairs. He's been paying taxes on the land, the only Crescendo, paid the fees and the liens and the properties. We got rezoning done. A lot of people understand this, so I'm going to emphasize it. The front nine was A5. A5 means 5,000 square foot lots. That's exactly what the new Highwoods Village lots are. Those 46 homes they put in, those are basically zero lot line homes. 5,000 square foot lots. But basically, the property is much bigger than this conference room. So the front line was previously already zoned A5. So someone other than Crescendo could have come in and just stacked the houses in all the way through the front. And he rezoned it to a half acre minimum lot size. So we've got kudos. That's
they're going to see even more of Walton. That's why that was a big move on his part. Walk away from some opportunity there. Back 9 went from being zoned for community facilities to the MU1, and he said it's a based code. There's more to it, it's more complicated, but he's agreed to a whole bunch of enhancements beyond just the standard. There's been platting for the right of way, platting of the front 9 into individual fortified acre pieces, and there's been platting so that 8 houses on Hunter Drive can eventually purchase the property right behind them as they request it. So they've done all of this. We talked a little bit about the developer risk being high. Now we talked about this Highlands Village. David Reed Holmes put them in. You don't have visibility of how profitable they were, but they did put them in. Those homes sold on average in the mid 500,000 range. The average household income there is $170,000 per household income. They all sold, and they're high density homes. That business model appears to have worked. So when Will rezoned the front 9, he basically walked away from at least a business model that appears to work. Now, there would be a lot of upset neighbors here if behind your house were 2 or 3 more homes, but that's what that is. The larger lot sizes right now just don't work. As you saw, if any of you were wishing to build home, buy a few acres in Crescendo on one of the fairways and put in 4,000 square foot house, you can spend close to $1 million plus the value of the property. And you're into $1 per square foot, but it's just beyond the neighborhood's current reaches. So you'd be taking on a personal risk. You might even have a tough time getting a mortgage or construction loan, just because the gap is so big. In terms of timing issues, Crescendo had a 5-year horizon starting in 2024. So their investors were looking at things happening by 2029. Crescendo is in a position where they expect to be placing property under contract over the next year. That's kind of their intentions. So that's where I stop talking. Will, you can climb up. That's pretty good. And I got question number 1 up there already.
Wants to be first, right? I guess you can say create some level of certainty, right? We have passing a vision out there and beginning to put boundary lines that's done by the zoning and the platting in hopes of attracting a developer to come along and build something. And we're fortunate enough to connect with the developer. First question is, some parts of the development target middle low income housing and other loss offset this by targeting higher income groups. Yes, I mean, what we need is a catalyst to start this whole process. And given where rental rates are and housing price per square foot for sales are and the challenges with retail, like the first project is not going to be clear, right? It's going to be something like what has been presented, which I believe is a really high quality, very creative project to set a new, to raise the floor, so to speak. And what that does is it then gives the lending community a new comp to point to, right? Because it all has to do with financeability, what a bank will lend on. Banks are very risk averse. And so if we can get creative and use various funding mechanisms, which Blue Ridge Cascade has the access to get us a quality first stair step, other projects will come along and the lenders of those developers can then look to this first one as a stepping stone. You're establishing a new comp in the neighborhood. It is very important. Unlikely, but why take that risk if you're the city? You want to have certainty if the city's going to invest TIF dollars that they know they're going to get. So that's why in TIF applications, they want to know what vertical development is going to be built. So that's
okay. I have no idea. Yeah, I looked it up. That's what I found. That's right. That's on spreadsheets.
If
you scaled up their X acres to your 10X acres, would a proportional...
No, it doesn't really work like that. It has to do with what your uses are and your density, and that then informs the sizing of the sewer pipe, sizing the water line, and where you can connect from to bring it through the land, and it's more complicated than that.
So you're saying it's going to be more expensive because it's more developed than it's going to rent the single land?
Yes. Yeah. Or for some utilities, yes.
Can you read the questions? We can't see them back here, and we can't hear you.
This next question is, horizon for Crescendo decide to move on if developers, the City of Fort Worth, and Woodhaven neighbors can come together and agree on something?
I mean, I don't know what you mean by move on, but my investors, you know, we have invested, besides acquiring the property, $4 million into this project. They're not just going to walk away from that, right? So, we're not going anywhere. I think what would happen in reality if, God forbid, this project doesn't move forward through Blue Ridge Cascades, we would then take a step back and see what we have to work with, which is our existing zoning, and we would just have to find a developer willing to build within the confines of that. It doesn't need city council approval or potentially even new TIF funds, which would likely look like sacrificing quality to just get the land sold. But what Blue Ridge Cascade has put together is bringing a very high quality project within the confines of the zoning and the planning that we've put together.
Hopefully this covers most of your core questions. If there is time at the end, we'll have to be able to ask Will some more questions and answers. We're going to move on to Blue Ridge Cascade next. So Logan agreed to take abuse the second time around. He presented initially in July. He saved an awful lot of feedback. It was a very lively meeting for sure. To their credit, they went back to work, are redoing the proposal. They're not done reworking it. So Logan wasn't even sure if he should attend this meeting, so he didn't want to raise expectations or say things out of turn. They're still trying to end on. They're reformulating the plan based on a lot of feedback that happened. They've got a balancing act where they're trying to balance our desires with financial realities and putting a budget together. And they've got a revised TIF proposal going in September. And they'll have something to present this week in September as well. Just a recap of what he did say a month ago. There was pros and cons. The pros were he was pitching some very high quality buildings, a lot of community amenities, a restaurant space, significant landscaping, expanding the tree canopy, open spaces, some mixed use and retail space combined in with it. And as Will Harlan said, it's an entry level project. We've got the ball rolling and a new comp further development. And the primary objectives were hey, this is income capped property, so this is definitely within the world of affordable housing. This is a subset of affordable housing that's kind of the lower end. At least that's the perception we have. And our understanding is it consumed a large amount of TIF, meaning that other TIF projects might not be able to get funded. So that was kind of the trigger. So on that note, I've got some questions for Logan.
Let's do it.
You ready?
Yeah.
2.0. First question is an easy one. You both. How do you feel returning after the last meeting?
I'm here. I'm glad to be back. This is part of the process, right? Like we're listening to the community and getting as much feedback as we can to come up with the best proposal we possibly can. So we are still taking in that feedback and. We haven't, ran away just yet. We're still seeing what we can do and are going back to the drawing board. So.
If you, I don't want you to speak out of turn, but kind of highlight the significant changes.
Could you read it out loud, please?
Well, we're good. Read the changes you're working through in preparation for a new proposal in September.
Yeah, I can't really speak to that at this point in time. We're still doing our homework and go back to the drawing board and seeing what is possible legally, financially, physically, on the site. So we're doing a lot of homework as it relates to revised rules.
That's fair. The question that came up was, these 46 new homes in Woodhaven Village, those are new enough that maybe that data was excluded from your comps on home values and income levels. Do you know if those 46 homes were included? Because the average income, I think, that I saw was reported as $170,000 a year or something like that, household income, just to afford those.
The incomes that I referenced were from the conservation plan. So I imagine those numbers didn't reference that, but what the question here is, when calculated for the AMI. So the AMI is based on the MSA, which is like the Metropolitan Statistical Area. The federal government sets that every year, you know, HUD. And so that is based off of the whole city. It's not specific to the city of Fort Worth or Tarrant County. And so, yeah, there's a little bit of semantics at play there where, you know, the AMI for the project is not specific to what it is, it's specific to the city of Fort Worth. So.
I guess it's my, I assumed just from the discussion that it was more tailored to this community. This says, do retirees get factored in some way when calculating the AMI? Because they have more capital gains and they're living off savings. They're not necessarily living off as much income. So it'll give you an incomplete income picture of when Woodhaven maybe has 30% retirees or something. But you're saying it's citywide about the AMI? Just
It's citywide. So it's an income test for like tenant screening. It's investment income, dividend income, those kind of things will be taken into account, but a retiree could qualify.
So I'm not thinking of qualification, I'm thinking for your income calculation. It's an adjustment for retirees to their income.
So the AMI, the HUD data is based off, it's based off census data.
Okay.
They take into account the whole population.
This was a more of a statement than a question, but I'm wondering if you'd answer this. Will, it said that something we didn't mention was the Boca Raton apartments average. This is Will's balance, so hopefully I didn't get it wrong. It's right and quickly, but it averages a 30% AMI versus a 60% AMI. That's what you're proposing. So that would mean tenants that would be attracting would have twice the income of the average tenants in Boca Raton. Is that true?
Not quite.
Not quite.
Some of it, but the point of that that he's trying to get at is that the existing median income for the conservation plan is $37,000.
Yeah.
Our project is based off 60% of the area median income, which is like $66,000. So, you know, $37,000 divided by the Fort Worth area median income is roughly as close to 30% of area median income. As the median income for the renters, which is what the conservation plan is talking to. Those properties don't have AMI restrictions or anything like that. So that's the prevailing rent and income of the renter population in Fort Worth.
This is a question I asked you. Must the community center be bundled into your proposal?
You do need some TIF funding to make the financing work. There's obviously a lot of big lift there from infrastructure to some sort of community facility. We're in conversation with the city and what the legal and ownership structure might look like of the community facility. So I wouldn't say it has to be bundled with the Blue Ridge proposal, but we were trying to deliver as many of the amenities and desires that the community expressed in the conservation. So we included it in our initial proposal.
At the last meeting, I think we made it clear to you what we want. And after working on this for another month, any thoughts you can share on how we can, your thoughts on how to close the gap between the expectations of Woodhaven neighbors and the reality of what you're trying to do?
We have some ideas, and we're working through those ideas and hopefully coming up with some solutions, but nothing that I can speak to at this point in time that I know for a fact that we can deliver on. So I would, defer to our next community meeting in September, which will be September 21st. And so we'll be, circulating a flyer and putting that on our website and making sure that gets out, 3-4 weeks in advance of that meeting.
Hopefully we captured the questions people had. I think that's the most important I've heard. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Hey, boy, come on up. I know the least about this project. This is Bowie from Empire Holdings. They're building a business park on 820 East Loop Service Drive. And requires corporate sewers to be built much larger. It's not just, it wouldn't just service their land. You can go through the draft through these 21 acres, so four times as much land as they're developing also is underserved by sewers. So basically, it prepares that whole 820 service drive stretch for commercial development. Thank you.
Hey, good evening, everyone. Thanks for having us. My name is Bowie Holland. I work for Empire Holdings. Let me start off. I work for Christina McLaughlin, who a number of y'all know. She's a longtime resident of Riverbend, longtime member of the TIF board. She has watched this neighborhood just like all of us. This is a bit of a passion project for her. She's trying to extend, but she's had great success developing flex property in the Sun Valley area, in East Fort Worth, attracting not just national but international tenants to East Fort Worth. Great incomes, great companies, engineering, aerospace, service companies. She's a huge fan of the Woodacre neighborhood. This really is an amazing neighborhood. It's beautiful, beautiful topography. It's a great location, easy to get to downtown, easy to get to the mid-cities, easy to get to work. Wonderful people live here. So this is really a passion project for her. I can speak a little bit to my involvement with Woodhaven. Some of you may remember back in 98, 99, there was a little hamburger restaurant at 821 called Hamburger Heaven. That was my family opened that restaurant. It was a great fanfare. It did really well for a while, but then started experiencing some problems with crime and break-ins and the ATM being stolen and other things. I remember as summer maintenance, cleaning up the mess, installing some bulletproof glass, and eventually that closed. And I think it's season four there at the southeast corner of Greenville. So we're not external developers from out of town. We're local. We're trying to bring what we've proven successfully elsewhere. This I want to take you through this map. This is our parcel right here. It's 5.3 acres. It's next to the former Rocket Ship Charter School. Woodhaven Business Park is the name of the project. I want to talk about that here in a second. But while we were doing our due diligence, while the property was under contract and going through a plan development and rezoning process, City of Fort Worth Water identified a likely constraint in the sewer line that serves really over 40 acres from here to the south, all the way back to the Trinity River. And that constraint starts about 800 feet off-site. Right here, you can see this red dashed line. It continues all the way back to the Trinity. So all 40 acres along that line are affected. There's been a lot of talk about who goes first, right? Via us or someone else or what the neighborhood conservation plan calls for in terms of revitalization of the various gateways that Woodhaven, they're going to encounter the risk constraint. In conversations with the city, we discussed potentially making a TIF application for about $1.8 million to upsize the entire sewer line, all the way back to the Trinity, to effectively unlock 21 acres, in addition to our 5 acres. They're totally vacant right now. They're undeveloped. And additionally, if there's redevelopment potential, more than mixed-use retail that folks would like to see there at the Art Corner of Randall Mill, those folks would encounter that. So that has the potential to unlock a number of parcels beyond ours. Over 80% is not parcels owned by the there's additionally that $1.8 million, there's a sidewalk from Randall Mill, down Ridgewood, down to Randall Mill, so connecting. We'll install sidewalks on our property, but connecting the sidewalk down to Bridgewood. This school is reopened, so improving neighborhood walkability, pedestrian connections. That's also in there as an option. It's included in the maintenance. As far as our project, it's Woodhaven Business Park. It's 227,000 foot buildings. They are under a plan development. You can sort of get a site plan. So I would call it flex. It's users that have a need for both office and storage. So that's a lot of engineering firms, service firms. We're talking to recent leases we've together, an Australian aerospace company. We work with a lot of service companies like the Dish Network, folks like that. Talking to folks that do services for the city, HVAC. We can't guarantee exactly what kind of tenants are in there. I can speak to very, very specifically to Sandra. She's in the neighborhood. She says no more often than she says yes. She's very picky about what kind of tenants go in there. She wants them to keep a very clean facility nothing that would be in the tree. Additionally, there's some trees on that site. We love trees. New Haven is part of Trees in the USA, and we've been involved in the Urban Forestry Master Plan. Sandra's actually looking into starting a tree farm right now, but some trees will come out in the middle of this, but our plan is to pursue a waiver with the city and treat the urban forestry requirements as a bare minimum and far surpass that in the amount of trees we're going to have. Additionally, there's some berms and some trees that we're trying to screen the site. Sandra's been a long time supporter of Pullman East Side Blossoms, Texas Blossoms. They have planted some trees on that site. We will make sure that those trees if not add to. Additionally, being a commercial site, part of our PD zoning is we put all the traffic right on the frontage road, not on the streets. We have to have them for emergency vehicle access. Then it'll be in the leases that the tenants, unless it's an emergency, will have to direct all traffic to our streets.
Okay,
thank you very much.
Controversial topic that seemed to come up at the last meeting. The idea behind the TIF is property tax earmarked for Woodhaven in this case, which gave a snowball effect by seeding projects that have a high probability of generating incremental economic activity. The whole idea is we seed projects, and they grow. And we seed a bunch of them with this TIF money. It can be anything from putting in sewer infrastructure, so you can see how it not only benefits their 5 acres, but 21 other acres are now developable as a result. That's kind of a poster child of what a TIF project should be. So we invited Philip Michael Smart to come join us, and I think my facts are probably not 100% correct, but I'm going to speak to them in just a minute. But the TIF 13 fund has just under $30 million. And I think it's projected by 2028 to have 32 or 33 or something like that. The approval process is currently, at least as it's documented that I've seen, it's an 11-step process, which to people in the private industry, an 11-step approval process is a death sentence. Upon submission, 5 steps are administrative steps, 3 steps include getting back to the community feedback, and then step 10 is a TIF board approval, and then step 11 is finalizing the details. TIF funds are intended for, as we highlighted in our conservation plan, corridor improvements, public infrastructure, and gateway enhancements, so they kind of divided the lot. And they, in the conservation plan, put a decision matrix in. Now, one of the questions we'll talk about is, are using their decision matrix or via use your own decision matrix. So we'll come up to that in a second. That's what I have for background. Maybe I should start with this. Is there any errors here?
Yeah. I mean, we'll go over a few of the questions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're saying, yes, I made mistakes.
No, no.
You'll catch on. Yeah.
Just clarity problem.
So the first question is, what is the current list of projects that are in this 11-step process?
Yeah. So the current list is actually, of course, we had some from the neighborhood, and of course, some of the proposals we talked about today. And of course, the front that everyone always has a discussion around is the community center. But staff's really projecting, looking at those projects, screening them through a pipeline. These projects are at different stages in review and development. And just because they're in the pipeline doesn't mean they're approved or indicate any kind of commitment from the TIF, but we still have to evaluate each project and have to go through this process. And mentioned earlier, he was talking to Logan about
first round that they had some rebuttal that you all had. We weren't here for that first conversation you'll have, but if y'all have those questions or you wanted suggestions on those type of things he was doing, if you'll let the city know as well, because we're not in on this conversation. So whenever we're reviewing these applications, we can see if the community agrees with it. Is this something that the community wants? So that kind of helps the evaluation as well.
Is there an answer to how many projects? Can you just give me a number? How many are in the pipeline? So we kind of get a feel for how active TIF 13 is.
I would say probably.
I think we have four.
Okay.
Four in the back. Okay. Okay. Who owns the entire 11-step process? Is there a grand poobah of the 11-step process that oversees it and says, from start to finish, I own it, and it's success or failure?
Yeah, I think the 11-step process was really brought out, especially in the conservation plan. We still pretty much use the Economic Development Department and the TIF Administrator to oversee the TIF program, and we're still looking for that but-for. So but-for these funds, this project would not happen. And we manage that pipeline, evaluate proposals, we're coordinated internally with the city for reviews, and then we provide recommendations to the TIF board. The TIF 13 board reviews and approves eligible projects and funding in accordance to the TIF ordinance with the project and financing plan. Project applicants also share responsibility. This is a big one. They must submit complete information, respond to staff requests, meet deadlines, collaborate with the city and the community, shared accountability. The city ensures a clear and effective process of applicants must actively participate and supply this information for further evaluation.
So who owns the process? Whatever name, title, there's somebody who owns all 11 steps.
So 11 steps are citywide.
That's fragmented a whole bunch of people.
I wouldn't say a whole bunch of people, but it starts out with economic.
So the relay is, keep passing the baton, but there's nobody at the top that says,
you got to put your shoes on. Yeah, you got to put your shoes on before you run the race, and that starts the economic development.
I have a question.
And once you're a qualified runner, then you can run. Until then, you stay behind the start line.
And we say TIF is a tax increment financing district. The city has about 20 TIFs across the city. Different neighborhoods have them. They start in economic development, depending on what it is. If it could be like we talked about, the sewer line, we get public works involved because they have to price it. So it depends on what the request is, but it touches many hands. So in the end, Gordon, it comes to the TIF board. That's the board that I chair, and they either vote, the city has passed through all the departments, and then it gets voted on by the TIF board if it meets all of the recommendations and the requirements from the TIF board.
I would suggest, if you don't recognize the problem, you have to fix it. So from the private sector, my years of business would say if there's no one overseeing an 11-step process, there's a problem.
Oh, I worked for AT&T for 34 and a half years and I retired as vice president. I understand processes, but this is a process that works. It goes through all the city departments and it absolutely does work. We can talk about it later. I'm happy to share that with you.
We'll get there. We have $30 million that haven't been spent yet. We've got a two-year horizon.
Well, we want to spend it wisely, and I'm going to talk about it, because just as you have $30 million in the bank, you don't run out and spend it. You look for how to best spend it. And I don't want anybody here to panic about the date of 2028. Decisions will be made, and you all will get a chance, but the TIF money will not be wasted. We will not give it back.
Okay. Thank you.
Jennifer,
last question, go ahead.
All right. So, basically, to sum it up, this question here, what I'm trying to see, I think what everybody is trying to get at, is it's currently a process, an 11-step process. But what if I was that guy that wanted to turn it into a 6-step process? Who's that guy that's going to authorize changing it from 11-step to a 6-step?
If you don't recognize the problem, you don't.
Who's that one guy that approves that?
We'll move on because they believe the process. Why do we care? Process. We'll move on. When was the last TIF 13 board meeting?
The last TIF 13 board meeting was January 8th, 2006.
Can we develop a new meeting minute issuing process so that we don't have to wait a whole year to see what happened at the last board meeting?
Yeah, the city secretary offices, they're the ones who publish the meeting dates, but you can just subscribe to them and their updates via the city secretary webpage, the email notifications, LinkedIn, and any enhancements to the formal minutes process would be in coordination with the city secretary and the city's attorney's office.
So what they said was the meeting minutes need to be approved by the next meeting, a year later. So there's no approved minutes until at least 9 months or a year after the last.
Okay, we've got to do it, but there's like zero transparency from the meeting to the board, where I can't just look up and say what happened in the last meeting, because the last meeting minutes won't be approved until the next meeting. Do you understand the catch 22? Is there any answer to it? City attorney. When is the next TIF 13 meeting?
So that's on a project basis. So once one of these projects are completed, the TIF application is completed, and the city staff has evaluated it, then we'll bring it to
the so the TIF 13 board is a review board of only projects, not of the process. So they're not saying requiring more applications coming through.
Just
can't.
I'm
seeing more process. They're just saying when you've got something, you still have all this.
You've got something that qualifies.
So there's no TIF 13 meeting scheduled right now? Is the evaluation matrix that was in the conservation plan, a 55-point matrix and a 15-point matrix, are they being used to score potential projects?
Yes, the evaluation matrix is being used by staff to assess the proposed project for eligibility, feasibility, or the public benefit, the economic impact, and alignment with coordination priorities of the conservation plan. It's not really a rigid point-based scoring system. Instead, it provides consistent guidelines to help determine which proposals are appropriate for potential TIF investment. The project must still meet all legal programs required before staff can recommend funding.
So the conservation plan produced a point scoring matrix that assigned a score.
The conservation plan was never formally adopted.
Each item of the TIF, so that you would actually have a quantitative evaluation of the TIF proposal. You're saying you're not using a quantitative evaluation of that matrix.
Mm-hmm. So we're using, but also you have to go about the same.
So if you're using it, can you see, say, how the playground, use that as an example, $1 million playground, can we see the point score?
Well, that project was already approved.
Just recently approved it, the last year ago. But it was just recently approved. We can't see the meetings yet.
We can definitely review and see if they're getting that.
I think she shared with the community how to use the scoring points.
It's called open records request.
What was that last little whatever y'all said that y'all talked to each other, not us?
Oh, that's right. He said he can send us their point score matrix.
He was talking about the East Region Library for the approval for that local scoring matrix. I said we will review our files and whatever we have sent over to him. I'll send it to him and he'll send it to you.
And we feel confident this Logan and Crescendo and the way they prepare theirs, you can use an objective scoring matrix that you would have access to see how they stack up with each other. Well, you assign points.
Well,
that's
we'll move on to the next question.
Yeah, okay. And of course, all those applications are in at the same time.
I get it. Who scores it all? Correct. Oh, this one. Is this 11-step process, does it discourage private industry developers and so on? Because who assigned the Shepherd 11-step process? That's a huge time investment.
It's $28 million. I'd suck it up.
And everybody's busy, so there's other things to do. Are you being burdensome to the point that 9 out of 10 contractors are using it?
Development happens all the time without the TIF zone, and so we see that happening all over the city. And especially here in Fort Damon, there's a lot of people who are outside of the TIF that are still making development happen, but we're still going through the process of making sure that everything is. It's pretty happy, project manager for each point of their application, so whenever they're submitting that, we're giving constant feedback and being transparent along the way.
I guess the heart of these questions, it predates you, Deborah, it predates you. Or how does it get between like $30 million and nobody spent it? Where's the bottleneck? And the presumption is an 11-step process is the bottleneck. Something's the bottleneck.
I don't think that's the bottleneck. You'll find out there's going to be no bottleneck once we have approved projects and projects and all the performance.
If we've got 20 or so TIFs around the city, is Woodhaven's large with the $30 million compared to what everybody else has? Because I assume that we've been neglected for a while.
Yeah,
Is that what we're trying to?
Yes, Deborah, this is a limiting deadline. I guess I think it takes the city council or somebody to change the deadline.
Yeah, our economic development department works for different companies and they do solicit projects to streamline. So it's not, it does, the money just doesn't sit there and nothing is happening. We have an economic development team that goes out and works with businesses, and that's how we're working with Bowie and Empire Holdings. So they are looking for projects, and I apologize, but I hurt my back, so I'm going to apologize, but so I'm limping a little bit. But we are always looking for things, and Gordon, I'm going to borrow this from you when you get ready to ask me questions, if you don't mind if I lean up here. But it is an ongoing process. It is not. And so when people do things, I mean, for a long time, he's right. Woodhaven was neglected. But we have an economic development team that is working very hard to try to bring progress to Woodhaven, and we'll talk about it when we get to meet. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
The deadline issue, Deborah says she's going to take care of that. I guess I think it requires the city council vote to change the deadline. I guess this would be a question. How does a community center weigh on
So the community center can serve as an anchor for strengthening the neighborhood's conditions, supports long-term investment, and can improve multiple needs, especially the quality of life for the area. It expands access to services, reinforces community identity, and boosts confidence in the neighborhood, and helps lay the groundwork for future investment.
So you're in a department that quantifies economic development opportunities. How do you quantify that when you're weighing it versus a development of real estate or something, or sewer lines that free up 26 acres of developable land? How would you weigh a community center versus that?
Community center, for employees, residents, and Phil Michaels does amazing work, but when you all put together a conservation plan that will work on the conservation plan, what they heard was that you all wanted a community center. Now, a community center is not just for kids to go play basketball. There can be things for seniors. There can be offices that are in there. And so it was something that had to be developed. So the community center came up because it was part of the conservation plan. So let me be real clear. We're going to get to me. I don't work for real. I don't work for local. I don't work for Bowie. I work for you. I live in White Lake Hills, right across the way. I want this community to grow and thrive and get better because I live right down the street. So the actions that I take, and if I sound that I'm being selfish, I talk to all of you all. I have met with many of you all that are sitting in this audience right now about what you want. And so my job is to deliver services for you and to represent you. So we will get to my questions and I will answer them. But I want us to be very clear that that's how the community center came up. And we'll talk about the park also. That conservation plan that Gina worked, they put it together, and Blake, you saw a lot of that. That conservation plan is driving a lot of the activity. You wanted more parks and beautification. That park that we're putting together behind the library, that city-owned land, we needed, you wanted more park space, and that's how that park came up. So that's how the park came up. And so we can talk some more, but anyway, Phil Michael works very hard, and I don't want him to have to sit up here and take hard questions, because if it's somebody you're going to be upset with, you all addressing them. My job is to deliver results for you.
Is it
more effective to build economic momentum in Woodhaven by advocating to 10 projects rather than most of the funds dedicated to any one city project?
Great question.
That's a great question. Right now, we have one project that we're looking at that's asking for most of the TIF dollars. Mm-hmm. So I think it depends on what the project is and what it's going to bring to the community. And I think you have to look at that. Clearly, I want to look at something like, and I am not advocating for this because I'm just one vote on the TIF board. You have an Empire Holdings, it's $1.8 million. You all want some sidewalk improvements and things, those come out of the TIF dollars. So if there are opportunities to spread it out, yes. But it depends on what the opportunity is.
Sidewalks would
be
an opportunity. Okay. Awesome.
And then some of those are on the wish list, and that's what we've been looking at, is how we provide some of that, and when and then combining it with the wish list. Yes, sir.
I'm fairly new to Fort Worth, 10 years. The question was, how does a community center divide it? Do you have, is there any areas of Fort Worth that has community centers that you can show us where there was?
Absolutely. So we right here, look in our own neighborhood, there's the Woodhaven, Hanley, we're right here. Right down the street, a lot of that economic development that's right down there on the corner of Meadowbrook is because they're providing services. Those came after the community center came, and we were able to stabilize crime in this area and do some things. We have the Martin Luther King Community Center that we are rebuilding that actually will have a business center by it. So they do bring some benefits to the community.
What about economic development?
Well, no, what I was telling you is this Hanley, this community center right down the street that shopping center right on the corner, one of the reasons that it stays there is because of the stability that the community center has brought, and we've been able to lower crime in the city. And so we have met with tenants down there, and they say one of the things that we've been able to do is because we're improving crime in the areas, they stay here.
It would look something, it would be something white folks were setting in.
Oh, you all would design it. I don't design it. You all get down and say, now, so I'm a senior. And I'd love to have a yoga studio for me to do things. So we would sit down. It wouldn't be something that the city would design without your input. Citizens would come together to design. I know we talked a lot about, so one of my people said, well, we don't want just kids running over there. But look at the programs that are even offered here, and we can design it like we wanted to. Okay.
Well, thank you very much.
No, hold on. Just for clarification back here, we didn't hear. Are you going to be sending us the playground proposal, the plan? You have a plan that you're going to send us that we could share? You don't have like a rendering of what it would look like? Or you just have like a concept?
I do community engagement, so they hire a consultant to come out and do community engagement concept to see what the community wants that part to look like. It's not like the city just says they just.
So you already have an approval of $1 million for this playground, but you don't have anything that I could share with the members?
No. So when Gordon, I work for
she's going to share something with the members.
The wheels of government move slowly, and that drives me crazy. But we had to earmark the money and put it aside, and so we earmarked the money. We will then have public meetings so that you all can sit here and say, this is what we want in the park, this is, you know, we don't want swings, or we want swings, or we want this, and then the park will get designed. And so I'm pretty sure they have not reached out.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
having a little bit of a problem with that too. There's not been a lot of action. There's not been a lot of action since she's been
on. The question that what everybody back here has been asking us, so how did you come up with $1 million earmarked? Like not 500?
We have time for this. No more questions. We haven't gone on the agenda. It's not an open forum. Okay. Okay. We're on to you.
Okay.
We need to do a round of applause. They were tough. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We'll go into the next one too. Just, I promise these are your questions. So, Deborah Peoples has two hats.
He's the president of the WCD. He's the president of the WCD, the one who lives in Hanford.
The first one are TIF questions. I'll ask you the same question. Who owns the TIF?
Okay. So, I told you there are about 21 TIFs.
No, TIF 13. Okay. Who owns TIF 13 process?
The development starts the whole process, and then depending on what the issue is, Empire Holdings is sewer lines. So economic development will start it, then they will go to public works, they talk about what it would take to put in there, you talk about urban forestry, so there are TIFs depending on the request. It may go to 10 departments over here, but where Logan is talking about development and putting in a road to get to these apartments, it goes through a whole other process. So it starts in economic development, and then it goes to the associated department that it would impact and we look at the data.
So let me recharacterize.
Okay.
I'm going to put words in you get angry at
me. No, I don't get angry.
The management of the TIF is an orphan. There's nobody who's providing 11 step, 4 step.
Well, and if you get that, okay, if you get that, that's fine. Let me just say, I don't get upset. Gordon, I work for you all.
I'm just trying to understand who owns the TIF.
I work for you all. And if you think the TIF process is not a good one, I'll go back and share this information. But it's been a very successful project. We've worked on it for multiple years, and it has worked well. Now, I can only take it back and tell my folks that back it out of the building if you think it's important. But I promise you, I don't get upset. The only way I get upset is if I fail to represent you all, because that's my job. Colleen, I'm sorry.
Well, I think the question is, where does the buck stop?
That's it. Yes. Who's responsible to make sure a project goes from step 1 to step 11? It says, I own this. I make sure
So our economic development team project manages it. Okay. I know what's in the TIF funnel, and I know that I go to economic development to look for things. So you're exactly right. If that's the next question you want, economic development, it all resides in economic development. The city manager can get involved, city assistant city managers can get involved, but it all starts with economic development.
So if the TIF 13 doesn't get extended in 2020, you're saying who does this group of people hold out for if you lose $30 million?
Then you hold me accountable and you vote me out. But I am telling you now that we are well aware. Okay, so watch this. Lord, you're voting against me, and that's fine. But that's my job to make sure that we use those funds and we use them and they do not go to waste. So those TIF funds have been sitting there for years. After I got elected and we started working on this, we were determined to use those to improve the community. Gwen gave me a wish list of projects. When I came on board in this last bond election, we even was ignored. A lot of the things that we asked for were not included in the last bond election that we had. All of those are teed up now for either looking at implementing them or they will be in the next bond election. That's why you elected me, is to fight for me to make sure that those things get taken care of.
So what's all that?
I don't get upset. I don't get My job is to work for you.
So what's on that list? Like, we're new to the area too, so we're just trying to learn, like...
A lot of sidewalks are one of the things...
Are streets on there, or is this like driving on the moon?
Well, okay, so we had, there was a request for some new sidewalks, and we are looking through those. It ranked 922 out of 3,100 projects. I don't have it, the address written down, but I can go back. But Highwoods, I did, you all asked for traffic calming. That will not, if you're not meet the traffic calming things, you asked for crosswalks and connectivity for crosswalks connecting Highwoods Trail to River Bend and Quad Parker. And we're looking at how we do that because it needs ADA ramps and it's included in the bond proposal list. Country Club Lane has asked for sidewalks extension, and so it is ranked 2,700 out of 7,000 different city things. So it probably will need to go on a future bond list. So you did ask for recreation and park improvements. I'm going to get to the owner. We own, and those are the parks for the recreation and park improvements. That park is one of them. We asked for infrastructure improvement, and I think, John, that's the pump repair for the irrigation system that's up there, and we are coordinating with the folks to see if that can be done. Yes, sir.
Okay, what's the difference between a bond, getting a bond approval, and money being used to the debt?
Okay, two different things. Okay. The TIF is used for economic development, like specifically. The bond, it could be we need sidewalks here, it doesn't have anything to do with economic development, but we're going to get it done.
Okay, so those sidewalks you just mentioned are part of the bond.
That's right. Okay.
Not a part of the
TIF. Not a part of the TIF.
Okay.
But if we can find TIF dollars, like what Bruins asked for, that's a sewer system itself, if we, as we do, if it gets approved, okay, so I want to say that, but if it gets approved, when we have to do that, and when you talked about tearing up things, we may be able to put sidewalks in there along that project.
And then, so you mentioned there are four current projects in the funnel of the pipeline.
Uh-huh.
And then, are you allowed to disclose what those four projects are?
We can get you a list. I can get you a list. Okay. I'll tell you where they are.
So, where do streets fall for that? They fall under the TIF, they fall under bonds. Like, how do street repairs
they fall? They could fall into the TIF, okay? Because one of the things that Logan is asking for is that we build a road and infrastructure to get to these multifamily parks. So, that would he wanted to come out of TIF dollars. But then there are also street repairs that can come out of regular street repair, our regular budget. A regular $4 billion budget, and then there's street repairs that we could say, well, we don't have the money in the budget for this, let's put it in a future bond. So there are multiple pockets that can come out.
So how do we vote on upgrading the streets? I drive around with it, and it's checking it out the screws out of all my cars. Like,
so can I tell you, you and every other neighbor in town is talking about our streets and how we fix them. So we do look, there's a whole process for upgrading the streets, upgrading the streets. I mean, when you look at all of Fort Worth, I mean, we're from the inner city, we live in older neighborhoods, our streets have problems, we have whole processes for how we repair the streets and how we replace them. If you want me to, John, in our next meeting, I can have somebody from Public Works come and talk about the whole process. Because I don't want to say something that's wrong here and give wrong information, but they talk about the whole grading process. It has to do with, is it street asphalt? Is it concrete? The other problem that we have in White Lake Hills and in Woodhaven is that we have a lot of cast iron pipes. And so those cast iron pipes have to be replaced, which means they have to tear up the streets and all of that. And so we are working on plans. And I wish I could tell you it was this year. I lived in White Lake Hills. It's going to be years before we get all of those repaired. But I can have, if it's okay with you, Lord, we can have someone come from Public Works to talk about it.
And again, we're new to the neighborhoods. We're just trying to understand, like, you know, it's not just about the streets. You know, we're talking about, you know, developing an area and raising values and all those things. And from an outsider coming in, we found a lot of the area. But then you look at all the things that you know, someone may give up on this area because of those things, like, that's going to keep people away. We took it and said, hey, we'll deal with the roads.
Visible happen. We got to make some progress because they've been neglected for like 30 years. We've done nothing. It's time to do something.
And I get that, and they get it. But I'm going to tell you, one of the things we do is I want to get economic development. Okay. I am adamant about bringing more businesses because the businesses pay into the TIF. Okay. So the TIF is funded by businesses. When we can attract businesses, and I promise you, I have not voted on him. He's not okay. But this is the kind of things that we are trying to do is attract businesses. Our economic development team is out in the streets every day trying to find businesses to move into our area. And so really even appropriate, I guess it didn't work out about the senior complex. But we are looking for ways constantly to try to bring business here. And things like this are things that we work on. And I agree, we need to get something done. So I'm with you.
The next question we had was, what can be done to encourage more proposals and more creativity for you guys to take? So you should have a flow of $30 million. There should be a flow of 10, 15 projects to choose from, not three or four.
But so one of the things we have to do is just what we talked about today. And I wish that I had invited our police chief because he just did a fantastic presentation yesterday about how crime is down year over year. And so one of the things we get a bad rap on the east side is that we are crime. And so trust me, I understand. You know, my daughter's car got broken into, but those happen in neighborhoods all over. But we need to start telling the story about what's really happening over here. And I'm just so grateful to the police for working with us because crime is that. When we start
Thank you.
Yesterday, it felt good to see all that blue, that crime was down year over year. So we got to do a better job of telling our story. And so I listen. I do not disagree with you. I think once we start to tell our story and we get to see some progress happening and people realize that it is a vibrant community, we will get more businesses in.
Okay. And just for a point, I think this community really needs that respect from other people that want to move to this community, because it's a very charming community. Right? We felt like
it's beautiful.
We love it. We love the house. We love the neighborhood. We love all the architecture.
Thank you for moving to the neighborhood.
What we've noticed is it's a very old community. And so that community is going to recycle at some point during the next, 5 to 10 years probably. All the residents are going to sell these houses, and it's going to be up to the younger generation to fix them up and carry on the legacy and the history of this neighborhood. And so if we don't do the things now that make that attractive then part of that's our responsibility as homeowners to fix our houses and like he said, keep them in good repair. There's a lot of houses in our neighborhoods that they're about to fall down. The wood's so rotted that they're just being neglected, and that doesn't help our situation either. So, we have to be proactive and be attractive to that next generation that's going to come in here and redo these houses and seize the value in the larger lots and all those things, so that we're prepared for that. Because if not, then this thing just completely disintegrates, and people like me who bought this house as my investment, my retirement. All that's going to go down the toilet.
So Deborah, we're going to reel this back in.
Okay, I'm sorry.
So you covered some of the ground and some questions already, but I'd like to keep going with some questions and see if we get some real answers. I think we understood the tip board. The reason they're not meeting frequently is because they're only responsible for the one step in the process, not for overseeing.
And so by the time it gets
to
us, it's
going through
the process.
So you're just step 10 of the one step process. Okay. Having a copy of the meeting, we'll assume an answer to that question.
We can, and so Bill Michael just said that we'll go back and pull the minutes, and I can get them. Who do you want to receive?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. We'd ask Ms. Isabella, and she referred us to you and a copy of you, said we couldn't get them until they're approved.
Okay.
Do you know when the next TIP board meeting is? So people here can attend.
We were waiting on a TIP board meeting this morning, and we had talked about having a TIP board meeting in August. Clearly, because that team wanted to go back to work on something, we pushed it back to September, October time frame. So we're trying to give Blue Ridge an opportunity to work with some stuff. Okay. And yes, it is an open forum. Yes, you can sign up to speak. You can people speak at our meetings all the time. And if there's something you feel passionate about, and you are absolutely welcome to come and speak at the TIP board meeting.
Question for you, since you're on the TIP board.
Okay.
How do we separate out the projects that, I've used the word an economic snowball,
okay.
Projects like we heard, probably the sewers that open up 26 acres of development. How do we fast track and do something special with them, because they really are magnifying the opportunity, versus a one-shot type deal where we're fixing this or installing this or something, but it doesn't have follow-on economic impact.
When you talk about the work system, when you look at economic snowballs, those are the kinds of things we want. Those are the kinds of things we want, and when they come to the TIF board, that's what we talk about, is what long-term economic impact will it have on this. And so, a one-shot project may be just a road, and it doesn't, we can't get a business to locate there. And so those projects like this would be things that we would really look at in the TIF. Okay. So, but watch this, boy. I did not say you were okay. Watch this. Please don't do that, okay?
And this is more urban legend maybe than reality, but we've heard the urban legends, and you personally are advocating community center to consume most of the TIF funds at the expense of other projects. So can you elaborate on that?
So,
because that was a big part of the discussion at the last meeting.
So let me just say, I do want a community center, because you all told me you wanted a community center. I didn't just decide I wanted a community center. I looked at that conservation plan when I running. I went to the meeting that Gina had, and the community said, we want a community center. But I don't want to spend all the TIF dollars on a community center. I have asked, and that is why Phil Michael is in this room and my team is in this room, is you all talk to me about roads, streets, and getting things done. You talked about economic development opportunities. So, no, I don't want to spend all that money on a community center. I want us to use it wisely. I have talked to the city manager, and we have talked to the assistant city manager. So it's not an urban legend. I do believe that having a community center is what the community told me that you wanted. So that's what I have to push in there. It's not a thing with the roads and sewer projects and those kinds of things.
If I understand correctly, and I didn't bring the binder, okay. Sorry, but the conservation plan actually had a 3 or 4 page matrix of projects. The community center is one line item, yeah. So are the sidewalks, the roads, mm-hmm. the development of the golf course, yeah. Many, many other things. So you zeroed in and said, you told us this, but that's one line item on 4 pages of suggestions.
Well, you wanted parks, okay, you wanted beautification, and we worked on the park. You said you wanted a community center, you wanted roads done. Now, I know y'all are going to think it's crazy. $30 million for me, that's a big pile of money. But when you start doing things, it is not as big a part of money as you think. Yes, ma'am.
In regards to the conservation plan, the line that actually has community, I think it's community gathering location. It's not specifically having the word community center on that survey that was coming in, community gathering.
Survey. Yeah.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay, just for a point
of reference. And I just wanted to know, for the next meeting, I think it would be helpful to bring those a summary of all the suggestions, because it's 3 or 4 pages of suggestions out of 100 pages.
Yes.
And the community center was
to have a meeting, but this is your Woodhaven Neighborhood Association meeting, and there are other groups of residents. I wanted to have just a Woodhaven meeting to go over all of this and cover. We were going to talk about the conservation plan and how we got here. Clearly, if everybody here said, oh, forget it, we don't want a community center, and you all say that, then I have to look at it differently, but I'm going based on what you all told. So we're going to set up a town hall meeting. I understand there's another group that's having a meeting on September the 1st. I want to have my town hall on before September, but now that there's another community meeting, I thought we'd get through that, and then we will have a town hall where I will bring city staff in to talk about things. And you have been so patient, you always are patient, okay? Gosh.
Page 19 of the conservation plan, under health and well-being recommendations, number 1, create a community center in the neighborhood.
So under that subchapter, they take the 100-page manual, of which there's all the subchapters, consolidated into a matrix of all the recommendations. That's
number one
on health and
wellness. Health and well-being is create a community center in the neighborhood with indoor gym space as well as community meeting space and access to programs and services for youth, seniors, and all ages in between.
So that was their recommendation, but that wasn't what the survey actually said.
But I promise you, I represent you all. I don't bring up these things. I don't. I want
the time. Sorry to cut you off. Can we move over to you? Well,
but that old traffic calming, I think I just told Lynn and I brought this. They already did a study on traffic calming and they does not meet the standards for traffic calming.
So people
can
keep tearing down highways and running stop signs.
Bought a house there.
I walk every morning 4 to 7. I watch it all morning long.
We do a whole study with our street folks, and I bring the traffic calming people to talk about that too. But they give you the study, and it does not
far. I even personally offered, I think the city of Fort Worth's program, you can hire an off-duty police officer for $80 an hour from the city. I could do it at Albertsons, and I said, I'll do that. You can write tickets.
the intersection on highways as long as I get the revenue from the tickets. And I was told, no, they won't do that. I said, well, I can make so much money having an $80 an hour police officer write tickets.
Well, I will go back and tell Chief Garcia that you have volunteered for...
I will pay $80 an hour to have someone write tickets as long as I get the revenue from the tickets. Or give you a tax
Tell us to move it along. Okay, I brought a list of that's on the list, and I will give Glenn a copy of this again so you can put it in. If you want it now, I had your.
So,
yeah, I had your.
Can I summarize? Try to summarize your statements that there's no funding right now for street improvements, sidewalks, traffic calming.
So there's no funding for it. The Oakmont, I think we said was...
Oakmont Street.
It's ranked number 2,516 out of 7,000 gaps. And so they had to look at retaining walls, utilities, and tree removals required. So it was added to a future bond request. There is no money for that.
There's no money for that.
Yeah, on that. Okay.
So let me reverse it. Is there any progress on any infrastructure improvements that we're able to talk about? Can you just spend 5 minutes and just tell us about the improvements that you're going to be able to find for sure?
So, yes, sir.
That should be, I believe that should be Oakmont Lorraine. There's the city's just full of Oakmont.
We all know what we're talking about. Those greater highways.
We have work going on in Woodhaven and Elmont Streets. I did not bring my personal from TPW, but they're just not things that were on the wish list, but there are things that are happening. So I will give Glenn a list of the traffic, what we're doing, the traffic projects that
so
are out.
So you came in this evening, and you don't have the list of what you accomplished in the neighborhood.
I didn't think that that was what you called me here for. I'm not doing a commercial for myself. I came here to hear what your concerns were and then respond.
But our concerns are the same.
Okay.
They're the same, like nothing's changed. Okay. I'd like to make it clear.
I was already told by some friends that you all are gonna get me in a meeting and try to beat me up and only give me 10 minutes. Because I work with you all, I am never afraid not to show up in a meeting. And so if you all want to beat me up, you can beat me up. Okay, that's my job. But what I'm telling you is that my commitment is to get things done. I am sorry I can't come and tell you that I'm a go on all this project. I'm sorry that I can't come and tell you that I'm locked up with Crescendo. My job is to try to get this done. I am happy to go back. I agree with you. I will give you a specific list of what streets we're working on, what's happening with crime, what we're doing. And so, trust me, I work for you. I take these things seriously. I don't want you all to walk out of here feeling that nothing is happening because things are happening.
So, hang on 1 second. Hold on 1 second, please. I've got to make this clear so we understand. I sent Ms. Deborah Peoples an email a week ago requesting preparedness of this, and we've got a conversation beforehand so we're not caught off guard. Same with email. And I sent two more voicemails yesterday and this morning saying we're going to get together to talk about you being prepared for this meeting. I never got a response to anyone.
So, boy, I had already talked to several folks who had said that Deborah. They are inviting you and you have 10 minutes on the agenda and the whole thing is to, they want to catch you because you're not there in support of them.
You broke your 30 minutes.
I can tell you all
You have the floor for over 30 minutes, and we're asking, what have you done with the neighborhood on our wish list? You've been in office for a year.
This is not productive. This is not productive. Or informative.
No, but it's right.
She would like to
know she more about how the
She would have had to have seen these notes. Oh, yes, I'm so glad you asked.
Yes, you have some things in the budget, and we have our budget meeting on August the 31st.
Can you tell us what's in the budget?
Is at the library. Okay. We are still working on the budget right now, Gordon. We just had another budget meeting, and we have one on Friday. So we are still adding things in the budget meeting. Because of the property tax issue, we have a shortfall of about $95 million. And so one of the things that when they did the budget, the city manager went through and they were pulling things out of the budget that I thought was unacceptable, like our mowing policy, what we do with homeless. And so they have gone back to rework some of the things that we want back in the budget. And so the best thing to do, I see you, okay.
Well, that's for him. Get back, did all the questions.
Oh, okay. So on the 31st at the library,
at the YMCA,
the Eastside YMCA, we will be going through the budget. And I would encourage you all to come to that meeting because we do have a budget shortfall. We are working, we have to have a zero balance budget. And so we are working through it to get to be able to present you with that budget, but not cut city services. Yes, sir.
You could have mentioned that AT&T is bringing fiber to the building, so.
Okay, well.
You should have been
pregnant. Oh, okay. I don't move on to the stuff. I just try to get stuff done. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
I just want to go confirm one thing. You did. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank
you
for
it's not always easy, and I know you're super busy. You got a lot of business.
No,
thank you for making this a priority for us.
This meeting was important.
Absolutely.
Okay. And different people can tell you. I meet with different residents. I've been to residents' homes. I really do care about what you say. I know issues that are going on, and trust me, Woodhaven is on my every month when I meet with the city manager. It is on my list of things to talk about.
I think the big takeaway that I just want to, and everybody will be glad to hear, and just glad to hear you say that the TIF money for this district is not going to go away. It's not going to get reallocated. It will be deployed in this district on projects that follow this kind of process. And that's good news. I think that can calm things down a lot. So we look forward to the process with all of these projects and getting the input. And as you say, wisely balanced. Wisdom is the best thing. So thank you so much.
Smiles.
Thank you.
We've got a hard stop in 15 minutes. Close the facilities. So we've got to wrap things up.
Do you mind showing those last questions that you went through that you thank you.
Thank you.
I had intended to spend
minus 15 minutes ago until it's a half hour, talking about what we just heard and developing some consensus on if we go forward the plan, maybe the framework. I don't think it's time for that. I think we need to have that. So I guess we have to leave that for another meeting. So unfortunately, because everyone's kind of fresh in our minds. But I think this is a good place to stop that and hand it back to you, and we'll try and develop a consensus at the next meeting. But, unless anybody's got
First of all, Gordon, awesome job.
Thank you. I think
it's really useful just to get some clarity. And as I mentioned at our last meeting, I mean, I think that civic discourse is really important. This is democracy, folks. This is where things really, the rubber hits the road. I personally feel like we should care more about what our mayor and city council think than what our president of the United States thinks, because it's right here. But you have to show up at these meetings. And also think the scripture that iron sharpens iron is really appropriate here. There is plenty of disagreement and strong opinions and a lot of rationality, candidly. It's hard when you don't have the facts. And there's been a lot of either inaccessible information or difficult. It's frankly convoluted. Like, talking about what we want to see here is also a conversation about what the statutory requirements of the TIF are, and it's also about what's financeable now at market rates. It's convoluted. So I think it's easier when we can try to get to some common grounds about what do we actually want to see in this neighborhood, and what then can we do to make that more likely. And so that's what the WNA executive board is trying to do. I do think that the conservation plan that was published after a long community engagement process is kind of our North Star. I was on that committee, several of you were on that committee. Our mandate was to tell the TIF board how to spend the money, right? So that's what the conservation plan consists of. And so I think generally the projects, the developments that are coming here that are aligned with what's in the conservation plan ought to have the benefit of the doubt that those are the kind of things that the funds should be allocated towards. I do think the devil's in the details. Like, the words community center can mean whatever you want it to mean. It's like a Rorschach test. It's whatever you want it to mean. So we really have to drill down on that. And I think we've got potential. There's potentially a private developer. They could bring in what is essentially a community center. And there's also a path where the city is doing that. Either through an RFP or some other project, we're not really sure, because that engagement process hasn't happened. But what I think we can all agree on is we want to influence what goes in the community center. And so there is a survey that we've got from Blue Ridge Cascade, so fill that out if you haven't already. And apparently we will get a meeting with a council member later this fall, and that's a chance to weigh in on what we're going to see there. But as an attorney, one of the things that I learned really early in my career was when you see a program or a cause that you've got an issue with, sometimes the best move is not to end it, it's to mend it. Okay, and so if your personal view is that you don't like some of the things you see in some of these proposals, try to fix it, try to mend it, try to get adjustment, try to give feedback so that they can actually take that into consideration instead of just being, well, I don't like this, so I'm gonna post. I think that we need to be more nuanced, because this TIF window, whether extended or not, that pot of money is the only chance that Woodhaven has for getting off of a decline, which we've been on for decades. And I've heard people say, well, we don't want more affordable housing, it'll turn into the next Rosedale. But we just saw, like, stop six has better property values than we did here. We're already there. We have got to turn this
just
around.
One home.
And this is probably the only chance in our lifetimes to get infrastructure fixed.
It's not a 135 building, and one home is not a comparable. And this should hold the neighborhood.
I don't think it's as simple as Deborah Beeple says to extend it. To extend the TIF, I think every taxing authority has to agree to extend it. So I think it's even beyond just city council. It's our city council in Fort Worth plus every other taxing authority that has money in that pot.
Here's if we extend it, because the further time goes on, things get more expensive. So
I'm just saying that
$30 million ain't worth anything 2 years from now, like it is right now.
I'm raising an alarm bell, so everybody's aware. It's a complicated process. It requires every taxing authority, not just Fort Worth City Hall, to agree. and there's a year and a half window remaining where it doesn't need to be spent, but it needs to be all allocated. And I'm really concerned that projects that may not be the best projects will get allocated in the last 6 months as a rush just to do something with it, because they wake up and realize it takes five taxing authorities to all come to a consensus.
And they're not going to, they would rather pull those funds back for their own projects outside of the plan. So I appreciate that they're committed, that the TIF is going to be allocated to this district and is not going to be pulled out. I don't know what we could do to hold her to that, because the TIF 13, she's the chairperson now, but if somebody else ends up in her council seat, then somebody else will be the chairperson. So we don't really, I appreciate that she said that, but there's really no way to hold her to that. So I think that's the reason why I want to encourage having an open mind and leaning into these projects instead of just opposing them, because there's no other developer coming along to save our neighborhood. And although we may want certain things that may take 5 to 10 years after getting a catalyzing investment here, that now we have Starbucks wants to open something outside of the Albertsons, right? It might take a while, but we have to arrest the steady decline that's been happening for decades. And that was the whole purpose of the TIF being created. So I'm grateful that you all came. This is democracy. And we want your input. We want to represent you well. Yeah, question.
I mean, we all want Woodhaven to prosper, get better, and grow, of course. And I guess my concern that I have is like, it gave me a peace of mind saying that she isn't going to spend the TIF money just to spend the TIF money, that it's got to be a good, cost-worthy project. My question is affordable housing with a nonprofit restaurant on the inside, like a company with it, like you're not bringing a business, you're bringing a nonprofit restaurant.
Right.
Like, so how is that going? How is that going to increase property value? How is it going to increase economic growth? How is it going to make it better?
Yeah.
Because I'm just saying, with
the
restrictions on food stamps, have y'all been to Albertsons lately and seen the complaints of people? Like, you put affordable housing people right next to a nonprofit restaurant where you pay what you want. That's going to be an influx of.
Yeah. That was one of the big themes that came out of our last meeting. And I know the developers working on that. There was the big hot button issues were the affordable housing piece and the restaurant. What I want to remind you all, though, is that there were a dozen other amenities that this proposal entailed that were awesome. And so let's just keep those things in perspective. We've been advised that they're working on that.
Yep.
Both the restaurant and the housing piece. And now we have 5 minutes left before we have to vacate. But I just want you to be assured, like, that's feedback that's well taken.
Yeah. And I understand there's other stuff built into it, all of that stuff too.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering how that's going to make things better. Like,
I think it should come to Bloomridge's presentation in September and see if that's even part of their plans anymore. But I think that feedback was heard loud and clear. I do want to say that we could use a restaurant. Maybe it's not that, but I think it'd be nice to have a restaurant. I think it'd be nice to have a bar. I think it'd be
absolutely
nice to have a swimming pool again. It'd be nice to have a community event space, a movie lawn, increasing tree canopy. I mean, there's so many things, the agrohood concept, a farm and table restaurant there, pocket parks, community
Is that
gardens.
Feasible, though? Like a park? Like being on a golf course where there's so many pesticides and chemicals,
we should talk about that. In fact, my nonprofit's been working down there, and they've had environmental testing.
I knew he didn't go the whole time without mentioning his nonprofit.
Permaculture consultants, all organic, no glyphosate. It's going to be safe for children. That's kind of the threshold here. But at any rate, I just want to remind you that we're being listened to. Okay, fill out that survey. Be specific about what you want to see here. This is our best chance, and it might be our only chance to influence the development here and to turn the trajectory of the neighborhood around, but also be patient, right? Because it took us decades to get here, and it's going to take us some time to climb back out. But if we can find some kind of a catalyzing development that we can all agree on, that it's not going to be a silver bullet, but it's like arresting the fall, and it might not be the thing that fixes everything, but it stops the trajectory and reverses the trajectory, and that sends a signal to other developers that Woodhaven is open to business. And that's the best chance we're going to have at getting new facades on the commercial, getting new higher end development and so forth. But thank you all for coming. Thank you to the police officers for coming.
Thank you, police officers.